it up.
Oh, it's the cooker!
Yes, you remember those days? You remember the days as a kid, if you can go back to the earliest Christmas you could ever remember, and you think, I don't know if you, we had the presents out under the tree early, so I would spend my days worrying and worrying and worrying, because there was always one gift that I wanted. Each year I had one thing that I just had to have, and I would spend all my days, this little beating heart, worrying if I was going to get that one. And you know what typically happened is, I would get to Christmas Day, I would open the presents, and the worry was all for nothing, because I would have that one special gift there under the tree. You know why? Because I was spoiled. No, because my mom loved me. But the first thing I ever remember, the earliest toy I can remember wanting that badly was this, Voltron. Tell me you remember Voltron. Somebody, thank you. Somebody, okay, good, yes. I just had to have a Voltron action figure. And then came, you know this one, Nintendo. Remember when that first came out? I had to have the Nintendo, and then, of course, was the Super Nintendo, right? You had to get that one, too. And then I started to mature a little bit, got into baseball card collecting with my cousin, and I just had to get the Ken Griffey Jr. rookie card. Any collectors in here? Anybody remember that one? And I did. I got it. Yes. And then finally, because this item, when I got into sports, would make you jump 2 feet higher, Reebok pumps. Remember those? You pump them up and a 5'5" dude could now dunk. It was awesome. And every year I would spend my December worrying only to find out that I got exactly what I was hoping for on Christmas Day. Now, our worries have changed as we've grown up, haven't they? We stopped worrying about getting a Nintendo. Well, some of you may still, but you need to grow up still. And instead, we begin worrying about things like our finances and our relationships and our health and our jobs. Oftentimes, these worries create much larger beasts in our mind than what is actual. A wise person once told me, "My life has been full of terrible misfortunes, most of which have never happened." And that's what worry is all about. My life has been full of terrible misfortunes, most of which have simply just never happened. Here's a big idea for today. We're going to jump into this. We're going to talk about worry. We're going to talk about how to destroy worry in our lives. You can write this down if you're following along. This year, we can be done with worry and find the peace only found in Jesus. Worry is a word that comes from a German word, actually, Wurgen. Here's what it means: to choke, to strangle. There's another meaning for the word worry in the dictionary, and it is it means to gnaw on, to drag around with your teeth, to tear at. For example, my dog was worrying on an old bone in the yard. And isn't that what worry can do to us? A gnawing, nagging, grinding on your well-being. That's what worry is. Worry is faith in the bad things. Worry is pursuing the worst case scenario with your mind. Here's what Romans says: anything that is not done in faith is sin. Worry is reverse faith. It's kind of like a reverse meditation if you think about it. It's focused thinking onto negative things. And you know, that's not healthy. That's not healthy at all. Worry is the sin of distrusting the promise and power of God at its core. Worry is actually the sin of distrusting that God is in control of your life. Will bad things happen in your life? Yes. Jesus said they would. But if we spend our whole lives worrying about everything that can go wrong, we might just miss all the things going right. Let me read 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. God has given you a sound mind, not a spirit of fear. You know who gives you a spirit of fear? Satan does. Are you going to receive that? No, reject that. God has given you power and a sound mind. He offers that to you. And I don't think it's just something that is magical and happens. I think we got to work towards it. We're going to talk about that a little more. Now, when we worry, it affects our body in some really surprising ways. It could actually make you physically ill. I went on WebMD, which I don't recommend you ever do to self-diagnose because it always ends with you dying. And I took a look at what worry does to the human body. Let me read a little section from WebMD to you. Chronic worry can trigger a host of health problems. The problems occur when fight or flight is triggered daily by excessive worrying. The fight or flight response causes the body's sympathetic nervous system to release the stress hormone. You know what it's called? Cortisol. You know, it's the one that makes your belly fat. You know that one? And it can lead to the following reactions. Here's what happens if you worry too much. Difficulty swallowing. Dizziness, dry mouth, fatigue, headaches, inability to concentrate, irritability, muscle aches, nausea, nervous energy, sweating, trembling and twitching, shortness of breath, suppression of the immune system, digestive disorders, short-term memory loss, premature artery disease, and even heart attack. You know, it's no wonder why Jesus said not to worry, because he didn't want you to worry yourself to death. That's a real thing. You could actually die from worrying too much. Here's what Jesus said about worry. Listen to this. I tell you this. And I think it's funny how Jesus started his thoughts sometimes this way. I tell you this. Like, hey, listen, I'm about to tell you something. Do not worry about your life. Do not worry about what you're going to eat and drink. Don't worry about what you're going to wear. Is not life more important than food? Is not the body more important than clothes? You see, worry is a waste of energy. It can't change the past. It can't control the future. It only makes today miserable. Isn't that the truth? You can worry all you want, but it won't change the past and it won't change the future. It will only make today miserable. So why do we stay up at night playing the what if game? Any chronic worriers here? I'm raising my hand. Yeah. And a whole bunch of liars. Anybody here ever had a stomach ulcer before from worrying? Anybody? Me? Yeah, two of us. I have. A couple years ago when I was going to make one of the most important decisions of my life, I worried myself so badly that I developed a stomach ulcer. And if you've never had one, God bless you, because they're at least 25 times more painful than you would ever imagine. They're awful. I ended up in the emergency room twice in the middle of the night because of the pain this causes. What they do, they bring out this big caulking gun. That's what it looks like, with this big tube of caulking in it. And they squirt it down your throat and it coats your whole stomach and it takes the pain away. So it's really awkward, but it's super worth it. So if you ever get one, do the caulking thing. It's beautiful. So what do we need to do to get the choke hold of worry, these hands off from around our necks? How do we get the stranglehold of worry to stop? You can write this down if you're following along on the outline. I'll do what God asked me to do. And that probably sounds super simple. Oh yeah, just do what God asked me to do. Right, okay. Let's talk about this for a second. What's the last thing God asked you to do? Have you ever heard the whisper of God? It's usually not audible, but internal. You just know that you know that you know that God is speaking and saying something. What's the last thing God asked you to do? Have you done it? Or is God still waiting on you? Sometimes we live life this way. I'm just waiting on God. I'm praying. I'm waiting on God. I know something good's going to happen. I lost my job, but I'm just waiting on God. My health's going downhill, but I'm just waiting on God. My marriage is in the toilet, but I'm waiting on God. Let me read what James, one of the authors of Scripture, says. He said, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says." So we live our life waiting on God, but what if God is actually waiting on you and me to take some action? Do not merely listen to the word. Do you know who the word is? Not what necessarily? In Genesis, it said, the word was with God and the word was God. The word is Jesus. Do not merely listen to Jesus. Do what he says. That's what we're being told to do. If we're going to do what God says to do, we've got to take some action. What has Jesus already asked you to do? Maybe you're not sure, and that's okay. But I know a way you can be sure. I really do. You see, Jesus already said a whole lot of things. And there was people around that heard it. And there was actually a group of guys that recorded what he said. There's four biographies about Jesus. The author's names are Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. If you want to know what Jesus already said, we have access to the scriptures, to those gospels, they're called, the four biographies of Jesus. I've read them. I can tell you what it says. I can tell you what Jesus already asked you to do. Maybe the reason we worry so much is because we're missing the point. The point of what? Everything. I spend my life worrying about myself, my finances, my unmet desires. I'm dwelling on the negative instead of living a life of mission for Jesus and others. You know what Jesus said? There was a religious lawyer who approached Jesus, and he was trying to trap him because they wanted to, kill him, frankly, and they did. And a religious lawyer approached Jesus and said, "Jesus, what's the most important commandment?" And Jesus, I got to imagine, he said something like, "Well, everybody knows that. Duh. It's to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength." And I could just imagine he kind of did something like, "But wait, there's more." He actually said, "The second is like it." And the guy didn't ask for the two most important commands. He said, "Tell me the most important commandment." And Jesus said, "It's beyond what you think." He knew the answer. The religious guy knew the answer. But Jesus added, he said, "The second is like it." And I think "like it" is really important here. Love the Lord God. Love the Lord your God. And there's more, and it's just like the first one. I don't think it's a, like, do this, then that. I think it's a both. The second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And that was radical because in that time, about 2,000 years ago in the Middle East, people didn't love their neighbors. You were fighting and scratching for everything just about. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then Jesus took it even further down the road, and he said, "A new commandment I give to you. Love others just as I have loved you." How did Jesus love people? Jesus went and took people into his group that were rejected from society. People that society hated, tax collectors in the day because they were thieves. And he said, "You're going to be one of my best friends and one of my followers." Yeah, you, rejected by society. Come on. That's how Jesus has accepted you and me. Radical acceptance. And Jesus said, "A new command I give to you, love others as I have loved you." Do you love your neighbors the same way Jesus loves you? Because that is what he already told you to do. You want to know what Jesus said? That's what he said. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's how we're supposed to be living. There's a really cool movement that's been going on for a couple years. It's called I Am Second. If you Google it, you'll see a bunch of famous people that are talking about how God is first and they're second. It's pretty cool. I showed this to a friend of mine and he said, "You know, I hope to live beyond that." That's okay. but I don't think that's what we're supposed to do. He said, really? Well, what do you mean? He said, Luke, I'm third. God first, others second, I'm third. And I thought, wow, that's how I want to live. I want to do what Jesus already said to do. I want to be third. I want to learn how to spend more time loving my neighbors and accepting people how Jesus did. And perhaps if I do, I'll stop worrying myself to death. I'll sleep better at night, get less belly fat because of less cortisol. I know you're thinking, Luke, you don't have much, but I do. I just hide it. Spanx. Okay? You know, if you want to get the hands of worry from off your neck, do what God's already asked you to do. And here's the second thing you can write down. Think on right things and do what is wise. Again, like, okay, easy, simple, what, like, profound, not really. Think on right things and do what is wise. You see, we've trained our minds to go down the road of worst case scenario. But look at what Scripture says about the way we think. This is found in Philippians chapter 4. And it says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, and if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. We need to retrain our minds to think about these things when we find ourselves worrying. Someone once told me, actually it was Mike Meeks, some of you know him, Pastor Mike Meeks. He said, just because you have a thought doesn't mean you need to think it. Yeah, that's right. Just because I have a thought doesn't mean I need to think it. And the Apostle Paul, he said something really similar. Here's how he put it. He said, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you need to think it when those negative things come into your mind. Grab them, capture them, make them obedient to Christ. Kick them out of your mind. You see, we have to have a moment where we can snap out of this subconscious worrying and grab these physical thoughts and hold power over them and kick them out of our mind. Just because you have a thought doesn't mean you have to think it. And do what is wise. Do what's wise. This requires action on our part. To go beyond worrying, sometimes it involves us getting up and doing something. If you don't have a job, build a resume and start handing it out. If your health is going downhill, change your lifestyle and eating habits. If your marriage is going to crap, go see professional counseling. I can't afford it. You can't afford not to, because nothing's more important. You pay a cable bill, you pay a cell phone bill, get rid of them. Go see a counselor. Skip lunch every day. Nothing is more important than the health of your marriage. Do what is wise. If we're going to stop worrying, I will do what God asked me to do. I'll think on the right things and do what is wise. And give to God what you cannot do. Now, I realize that some things are out of our control. I just said, if you don't have a job, then build a resume. But you may not have a job because maybe you were injured and you can't work. I get that. Or maybe your health is going downhill and you're sick for reasons that are out of your control and no kind of lifestyle change would help make you healthy again. For reasons unknown. I understand that. Or maybe your marriage is broken because of the sin of someone else. And it's not your fault at all. And you can't just fix it. That may be true. So what are we to do? Let's look at the scriptures for some advice. Philippians 4:6. Don't be anxious about anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, that means bringing it to God over and over and over and over with thanksgiving. Be joyful and thankful in it. Present your requests to God. It's saying, you got to take this to God. He's waiting. He's listening. He actually wants to hear from you. You're not bothering him. You're not nagging him. Bring your worries to God in prayer. And here's what happens. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, that's deep. The peace of God, which transcends all humanly understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Are you worried? Bring it to God, give it to Him, pray over and over and over and over. And He will supernaturally, and I don't know how this works, cause you to be at peace. And the world will look at you and say, what you're going through is terrible. How could you find peace in that? Because the Holy Spirit has offered it to you. That's how. And it's a supernatural peace given to you when we bring our worries to God. He will guard your heart and your mind. You don't even know how to do it. He will guard your heart. He stands in front of you, guarding your heart and your mind from anxiety and worry. Trust God with what only He can do. God is bigger than our problems. You do what you can do and trust God with what you can't. Because there are some things we can't do. There are things I cannot do. I cannot heal someone from a terminal illness. But God can. I cannot protect my kids from danger all the time. And that's something I worry about. But God can. Can you change your spouse? No. But God can, and guess what? He can change you too. Do your part, and so will I. And everything else, let's hand it to Him. And ask God to do what only He can do. You see, worry does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow. It only empties today of its strength. 1 Peter 5:7, cast all your anxiety on Him. Because He cares for you. God is saying, I'll take it because I care for you. You don't have to carry it. I'll take it because I love you. He's not a far off, angry God. He's here, He's with you, and He loves you. So I will do what God asked me to do. I will think on the right things and do what is wise. I'm going to do my part. And I'm going to give God what I cannot do. And here's number four, I will trust God no matter what. No matter what. Here's what Jesus said. But seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, the kingdom of God, and all these things will be given to you as well. If you put God first, everything else falls into place. In fact, our priorities probably greatly change, and we start to see this great momentum in our lives. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. You see, what Jesus is saying is, yes, there's trouble. Yes, bad things will happen. But a lot of the bad things aren't going to actualize. So we'll worry about them for nothing. And when they do, God is bigger than our problems. And you know what else? This is temporary. This isn't it. This is not it. Sometimes I have these moments of clarity, of extreme clarity, and they usually only last a couple of seconds. But it's like God is showing me a glimpse of this is not it. There is an eternal future ahead. So live your life and become the person I want you to be, because there's so much more coming. Reach people for Jesus because there's so much more coming. Love your neighbors because there's so much more coming. All the things you're worried about, they don't even matter. There's so much more coming. This is like the practice game and the real thing's coming. And you know what? Each of us will experience death. No one escapes it. But what's after that is the real life. It's not this cloudy, dreamy heaven thing we think of. It's the real, vivid life. More real and more vivid than this is right here, right now. This is the cloudy, murky, dreamy thing. The real thing is coming. And we need these moments of clarity with Jesus where He shows us the real thing is coming. Let's do well now for Jesus because the real thing is coming. What if God was already in tomorrow? Don't worry about tomorrow. What if God was already in tomorrow? There's some scriptures that make us consider God could transcend time. Scripture says one day is as to 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is as to one day for God. He created time. Perhaps he lives outside of it. But what if he's already in tomorrow, looking at your life, planning, setting up, protecting what's ahead for you? Will you trust him? Will you ask him for what your heart desires? And will you trust him for tomorrow? Trust God no matter what. If he does what you think he should do, trust him. If he doesn't do what you think he should do, trust him. And if your worst fear comes true, can you still trust him no matter what? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight. You want your path to be straight? Surrender to God. What has he already asked you to do? Let's trust God no matter what. And every time a door shuts in front of us that we were expecting to walk through, we have to ask this question: God, what better thing are you redirecting me towards? When your plans start falling apart, God, what better thing are you redirecting me towards? Let's not let today's worries hold us hostage any longer. Let me read you a quote from Thomas Jefferson. I love this. How much pain have cost us the evils that have never happened? How much pain have cost us the evils that have never happened? Worrying is not worth worrying about. I will do what God asks me to do. I will think on what is right and do what is wise. I will give God what I cannot do. And no matter what, I will trust him. Here's my hope for this year for all of us. And my big question to you today: will you trust in the promise and power of God this year? Will you hand your worry to him? Will you trust in the promise and the power of God in your life this year? May you be set free from worry today. I'm going to pray for us. I want to pray a prayer asking God to release us from worry. So would you bow your heads with me as we pray? And I want to include you in this prayer. And I realize that sometimes doing a physical act helps us understand a spiritual reality. So here's what I'm going to ask all of us to do. In your hand, with all of our heads bowed and eyes closed, would you grab onto your worry and give it a name? What is your worry? What's it called? Give it a name and just grab onto it with your hand as we pray. God, may we take our runaway thoughts captive. We have grabbed them. And we release them to you. And I'm opening my hand. I'm giving you this worry, and let's open our hands together. God, these worries are yours. Our anxieties are yours. And we ask that you would do what only you can do. And today, would you set us free from our worries? May we believe in you and trust you deeper than we ever have. Set us free. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. Well, I've got some big news to share. And this, uh-oh. 8 years ago when this church was planted, it was planted by a guy named Carlos and his wife, Amber. Was anybody around? Anybody remember them? A couple people remember them? And he did this as a volunteer. And our heart was always, we want to go and reach Imperial Beach with the love of Jesus. And finding space in Imperial Beach is really difficult. And so we landed here, and it's been great. And the dream has always been, could we move deeper into Imperial Beach? Could we be more invested in the community as a group of people who follow Jesus? And I think the time has come. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a relaunch of this church, and I'm going to tell you what that means. We are going to take 3 weeks to reorganize, and we're going to have a couple of practice services in February, then a re-grand opening on February 17th, and we're going to jump into our relationship series. We're going to do a mailer to the entire community of Imperial Beach inviting people to church. We are going to open with a new name. This will no longer be known as Eastlake Church Imperial Beach. It will be known as Imperial Beach Church. And if you live in IB, I grew up here. My parents still live here. What I realized is Imperial Beach locals aren't really for the big box place coming in. They're kind of more for the local guys. And we want to be that for this community. So we are going to be Imperial Beach Church. We're also going to add to our staff. We are going to have a youth pastor hired on that we have never had at this church. And I understand a lot of people here who have teenagers, middle school, high school, you say, well, what's for my kids? Well, a kind of something, but not really what the other churches have. That's no longer a problem. We're hiring a youth pastor. We already have him. My wife, Leslie, is joining the staff as another children's director. We are going to buy all new kids' gear and toys and update the video games so that they're not from 1997 anymore. We're investing a ton of money into children's ministries. My role at Eastlake Church is one of the executive pastors of the network. I oversee all of our network churches. I am going to shift my role, and I'm actually going to join this staff full-time. Armando's going to stay here. We're going to work alongside each other. I love Armando. You guys do too. So I'm going to join this staff full-time as well. So we're going to have a heavy investment in staffing and in equipment in our children and our youth. And we are going to move locations. And I'm not going to tell you where, but I can pretty much guarantee you are going to love it. It's amazing. It's incredible. So here's what's going to happen. For the next 3 weeks, there will be no Sunday morning gatherings. You can watch church online. You can visit another church if you want. But there's no church gatherings for the next 3 Sundays in January. But what we will do, and you're invited, and I hope you come, is relaunch meetings every Friday night at the Imperial Beach Library. That's not going to be our church home. We're going to do Friday night, 6:30. There's going to be childcare and food. So if nothing else, consider it a cheap date. All right, come be with us. You're going to hear our vision, our future, what we're doing now, and how we're going to reach the community of Imperial Beach. I hope you'll join us. I hope you'll come on this crazy adventure along with us. Everybody has one of these blue connection cards, and I want to ask everyone to grab this. This is going to be a really important time for us all to update our information. Put your best email on this card. If you want to be in the know and know where we're going and know what's happening, we're going to send out email updates. So please fill out the card today, even if you've done it 1,000 times before. I'd love to have your most recent email so that I can communicate with you. On the back of the card, it says, contact me about. It says, count me in for the launch team. If you're saying, Luke, I want to be a part of this. I want to go be the people that help other people find and follow Jesus in Imperial Beach, count me in. I'm in. Let's do this. This life's temporary. We got one shot. Jesus said, go make disciples, and I want to do that. Then let's go. Mark the box. We'll include you in the team. Let's go change the world together. Jesus said, make disciples of all nations, including this one. This one counts. And we need you. You know why? Because there is no plan B. Nobody else is coming to show the love of Jesus. It's you and it's me. So let's go do it together. Thank you for being here. Armando's tasty treat is breakfast burritos outside on the patio. We're going to be hanging out. I would love to meet you if we've never met. If you've got questions, Armando will be available. I'll be available. We would love to talk with you. Before we dismiss, let me say a prayer for us, for this church. Jesus, we are deciding to leave something good in pursuit of something great. The greatness comes when we show the love of you to the people who surround us. So God, on this day, we make a decision to go, to consider others better than ourselves, to accept them and love them the way that you have loved us. Lord, would you send us and help us to reach the community of Imperial Beach with your love, with your mercy, with your forgiveness. Send us, Lord, we pray in your name. Amen.